So I'm communicating with Andreas Jensbakken, who alerted me that. Okay. Yep. Okay. Okay. So I have to repeat a few things. Så jeg beklager, jeg hadde programmert et opptak som skulle starte 13.15, men av en eller annen grunn så ble det 13.57, som litt dumt. Det jeg gjør nå, jeg holder på i 15 minutter, og så skal jeg prøve å endre det neste opptaket. Kort om hva jeg gjorde. Først har jeg i front av programmet. Og så starter jeg med første emne, som group model building. Og egentlig så det veldig godt forklart i dette dokumentet her, som ligger inn der. Så jeg må nok for ikke å belaste alt for mange konstantering som følger her med, så skal jeg bare si det veldig kort. Jeg fortalte at i praksis, når vi skal lage en modell av et problem, så jobber vi sammen med eksperter. Det er den organisasjonen eller firma som har et problem, det er de som vet om problemet, og de oppnevner en gruppe på oh, sorry, I have to say it in English. Konstantin is surprised. Okay. You understand? Yes. Okay. But I will continue in English because some people are English. So the problem owner, they will help by composing a group of experts, 8 to 12 people, who is interdisciplinary. They know different aspects of the problem. All together, they should know most about the problem. But they are not able to create a simulation model. So for that, we have a team, a facilitation modeling team, that works together with the experts through group model building exercises so as to get data for the model and to get the knowledge that typically is hidden and implicit on the table. And in issues where people do not agree, we have exercises to build consensus. So this will lead to a system dynamic model that the group feels they have contributed to. Even if they cannot themselves make the model, they are able to understand what the model expresses. These group model building workshops will be repeated, if necessary, 2-3 times, until we achieve a final simulation model that the people trust, and from that we can get best practices, guidelines and standards. But also the very process of working together leads to more understanding. So experience tells that people feel they learn a lot by just working together in a group model building process, and the model itself delivers even more insight. Then I explain that the team of experts that helps develop the model together with the problem owners, with the domain owners, domain experts for the problem owners, they consist of 5 roles. This you see on page 2. And there is the guy who facilitates the process, the recorders, the people who take notes, the modeler or modelers who sit in the background and develop the simulation model in real time. A person called the process coach, who has the role to observe what is happening, and if necessary, if there are issues, some people contribute too little or something are not seen by the facilitator, to help the facilitator put the thing on track. And then finally, a representative called the gatekeeper of the client to control what is happening. And then I came to this point here, which is the kind of data sources that we can use. When we are dealing with a problem, then we will look for written information about the problem that exists in the organization in terms of reports and so on, memos that have been written and so on. So this is important information. In addition, we will ask for numerical data. What do you know about the different important parameters, about the different things that can be measured, what has happened in the past, and so on. Has this been recorded in some way? Then we get access to the numerical data. And then finally, the third and very, very important data is mental data. That is the knowledge that is in the head of the people. And very often, because organizations and companies are working in the front, developing new solutions, new processes, new products, and so on, a lot of the knowledge actually exists in the head of the experts. That is their experience. And this is very, very important that this mental data comes up. And that's what the group model process does. It helps put on the board this invaluable information, the mental data that's in the heads of the main experts. So please read this document. I'm sorry that I spent half an hour, no, actually not half an hour, but about 15 to 20 minutes explaining all the things behind without noticing that there was no streaming. Now, as to the advantages of the group model building approach, as I said it before, there are two aspects. One, that the process of group model building itself creates learning and insights. And the experience for many, many years, actually something like 30 years of using group model building in different cases with different experts in different countries of the world, is that the group model building approach contributes as much by the modeling process itself as by the final product that you can use to simulate different issues. And then what is very important is that the process itself is an open process where the people feel they have contributed, feel they are co-owners of the model, and therefore feel motivated to use it and have a higher degree of trust as compared with another process where you just call to McKinsey or Accenture or whatever and tell them, please make a model of this problem, we need to solve it. And then they come back after some months and say, here is the model, means it's a crystal ball, ask questions and you get the answers. This is normally not as reliable. People do not trust in the same way as if they feel that they have contributed a lot. Then as to the techniques that we use when we have these group model building experts, we do not simply ask questions and let the people answer. If you would do that, the questions will be often restricting and selective, and perhaps push the answers in a particular direction. So rather we conduct open processes. The other thing is, if you ask questions, then some people will tend to talk and to answer higher up in the hierarchy, or people who are very talkative. We want a more democratic process where everybody contributes. So what we do is more exercises. Like, for instance, we will create stakeholder maps. We will ask the people to deliver their information as to how different important variables behave over time, and so on and so on. So please read more of the details here. Then let me show you some of the things that we do in a group model building exercise. For instance, one of the things that we do in a group model building exercise is a stakeholder analysis. And the way we do that is the following. We put two axes. One of the axes is interest, degree of interest. And here, of course, it's low, medium, and high. We do not have an exact numerical measurement for the degree of interest. Degree of interest in the problem, and then degree of influence on the problem. And again, here is low, here is medium, is high. And we ask for stakeholders, people who are in some way concerned with the problem, and ask the participant to do the following. So I will say, Constantine, here are big sheets like this. On each sheet, put the name of a stakeholder that you think is important for the problem. And then on the next sheet, put another one until you finish with stakeholders. And I ask all the other people to do exactly the same thing. And then I ask each person to come up with the stakeholder they prioritize highest. And I take only one from each people in the room. And I put them here. I ask them, put them here according to how strong their interest is on the problem and how much influence they have on the problem. For instance, one of the stakeholders could be, if this is an issue of big relevance, could be the media. The media will typically be very interested if that is a big problem. But the influence, actual influence on the problem is not so high as, for instance, the managers and so on. So the media will probably end up somewhere here, high interest, but rather something like medium or between medium and low influence on the problem. The senior management, they have a lot of influence, but they are not always so strongly interested in the problem. If it arises in that department and so on, they will measure that against other issues, other problems and so on. So the top management will perhaps have medium interest in the problem, but very strong influence and so on. And using this, we will create these maps. And what we are interested is in the area where we have stakeholders who have both strong influence and strong interest. These are the stakeholders that are more important for the problem. And we will have to represent them in our model in some way. And then from these stakeholders, we will then start conducting exercises as to what kind of decisions they can influence or take and so on. And we start listing them again in a round robin process where everybody is asked to put here on the sheet some possible decision. And again, we collect one from each and then one from each. We put in there and then we look then and try to cluster them. So what belongs together. And for that, we will, over time, start identifying the important variables of the problem. Then we will ask people, how do these variables behave over time? Yes? Yes. Yes. No, it is everybody can figure out as the question was about when the stakeholders are being found, do you only take the first one? No, you take all. But the point is you do that round robin. So you take person one, gives the highest priority and puts it here. Then I ask person two and the same. Person three and so on.